Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad to be with you today. We pray that in this new message today, in the end of a series that we began a few weeks ago, that God will bless you, enrich you, enlighten you, instruct you, and above all, that He will make you fruitful for His kingdom. We need every child of God to be counted in. Amen. And stand for the truth and the light of the gospel and the love of Jesus. We need Christians to just be Christians today. Hallelujah. And follow Jesus closer than we have ever followed Him before. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we invite you to be our special guest today as we study in the Word of God these wonderful incentives in the New Testament to run full out for Jesus in these last closing days of time and human history. Yes, I do believe that we are living in the last of the last days, and I believe the Holy Spirit is inspiring us and urging us to run like we have never run in terms of our commitment and devotion to Jesus Christ and to fulfilling His purpose and being His witnesses in these last closing days of time. I believe a great last day harvest has begun worldwide. It is statistically confirmed that there are revivals around the world where tens of thousands of souls are coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe right here in religious America, with a church almost in every community and corner in that community, that we are a candidate for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Religion can become a ritual and a routine rather than a reality through a relationship with God. And I believe the Lord wants to do a restorative work in and through His people right here in the United States of America, right there where you are, if you're hearing this broadcast anywhere in the world today in your life. I believe the Holy Spirit is poised and ready to move mightily. Hallelujah. Well, having said that, we're getting ready to go to our message today. We will be reading once again from the first two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll just read rather two verses, verses 24 and 25, as we look at these incentives to live full throttle, full out for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. But before we do, if you'd like to come to our website, please type in THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God, right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. Having said that, well, let's go very quickly to the Word of God that we might continue this message, in it to win it. Running full out for Jesus, winning the race, receiving the crown, the reward for faithfulness is what we're talking about. It's what spurred on those early apostles. It's what spurred on the great apostle Paul. In spite of all the persecutions and pressures that were brought to bear, he kept the faith. He had a testimony at the end of his life. I've run a good race. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Surely there's a crown laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but all those that love His appearing. This is His attitude. This is what kept Him going. This was His holy incentive. 1 Corinthians 9, He says in verse 24 and 27, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." You can see very clearly Paul had a crown in view. The reward for faithfulness, his devotion, was not for a crown that will corrupt, but that is incorruptible and eternal. They devote themselves to winning a prize for the glory of their flesh and the glory of their country or their team. We do it for the glory of our King, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Their crown will pass away. Our reward for faithfulness to Jesus is eternal and everlasting. But because of their devotion to their cause and winning that corruptible crown, they develop the necessary disciplines to obtain it. And the disciplined Christian life is the discipled life. It's nothing less than becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe and to do whatsoever I command you. And a disciple of Jesus has a prerequisite, and it's self-denial, not self-indulgence. Amen. If any man would be my disciple, Jesus said, let him take up his cross and follow me. Paul took up his cross and followed Jesus, and he didn't just stumble along, but he ran. Hallelujah. Amen. With enthusiasm. He had holy incentive, and we're talking about the crowns that he had in view. One was the mighty crown of life. The other mentioned is the crown of righteousness. And we left off last week with the crown of glory. Praise the Lord. It's found. I want to go back and review just for a few moments before we move forward in this wonderful, wonderful blessedness of being faithful to preach the gospel in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verses 1 through 4. It said, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not of constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. In other words, it's not for the riches and the wealth and the money we can accrue and acquire. It is because we are under shepherds of Jesus, and we're feeding his flock, amen, for his sake. Glory to God. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being an example unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. See, there's that crown that doesn't pass away. A crown of glory. You know, Jesus was mocked and wore a crown of thorns. But because of his obedience, he now wears a crown of glory. It's defined in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. It says, but we see Jesus, who was a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Amen. Revelation 19 concerning Jesus Christ said, on his head were many crowns. Praise God. If we endure the hard stuff and faithfully serve him, we will bring honor to his name, and he will reward us with a crown of glory. His honor is shared and given to us for honoring him. It's a crown worth running full out to obtain. And then there's another crown that Paul had in view, and it's called the crown of rejoicing. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. He said, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Christ's reward for enduring the shame of the cross is a bride, a holy people destined to live with him in heaven forever. I believe this crown was in Jesus' view while climbing up the hill called Golgotha at Mount Calvary, and while hanging on the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy, speaking of Christ, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Friend, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in the gospel, for preaching the gospel rather, for over 40 years. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. I do not expect to become a great wealthy mogul of some sort on the line of the billionaires and millionaires of the earth. I do expect, when I get to heaven, to hear my master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I do expect to see the souls that have come into the kingdom because my wife and I have dedicated our life to the proclamation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know of some souls that are in the kingdom because we followed Christ and proclaimed Him. But I believe I'm going to be wonderfully shocked and surprised at the people that I didn't know that were influenced either by us directly or indirectly through others that have come to Christ under our ministry, that are going to be in heaven because I lived my career, amen, and I left my home and my land and gave it all up willingly and gladly and started out living in a broke-down old house with a hole in the floor that was our parsonage for many years. And I'm telling you, God has rewarded us, not just in the material sense alone, but He has rewarded us spiritually, and the greater reward is yet to come. I'm running full out for this wonderful crown of glory. All our victories, all our conquest, all our achievements, all our righteousness, all our applause of men, all our blessings of God, we owe it all to Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. So what do we do with our crowns? Amen. We're going to lay them down. We're going to lay them down at the feet of Jesus Christ Himself. No one is going to be wearing that crown as a symbol of some kind of prideful achievement on our part, but the victory that He has won for us and granted to us. Praise God. This crown of rejoicing is going to be worth everything. Amen. We're going to shout and celebrate throughout all of eternity when we see the significance of just sharing Jesus faithfully and the difference it has made eternally in the lives of so many people. I'm a pastor primarily, and I'm doing the work of an evangelist as I wear the other hat as we reach out through the media, through this ministry and others to reach people for Jesus Christ. But in my pastor heart, there are times when I don't see all those people coming to Christ that you would see as an evangelist like Billy Graham or someone else in the great crusades when tens of thousands of people are won to Christ and you have the knowledge and the immediate gratification and satisfaction of seeing so many souls swept into the kingdom of God because of your sacrifice, because of your commitment and your devotion. As a pastor of a community church, you don't have that kind of immediate sense and gratification of the significance of what you do for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a pastor listening to this broadcast today, amen, and you haven't seen the souls that you would love to see won in your personal ministry, in your place of ministry, and you would love so much Sunday morning to see a whole family come to Christ, how it would fire you up for the next Sunday to anticipate that happening again. And it may not be happening right now, but I'm telling you, someone has come to know Jesus through your ministry. And that someone has probably shared Christ with someone else. And that someone has come to know Christ. And that someone more than likely has shared the gospel just by being saved with someone else. And that light that has been passed on, that candle that you ignited, that ignited someone else, has continued on. And we don't know how many people are going to be in heaven because we were faithful to our place and the people that He sent us to Oh, friend of mine, I believe it's time to take courage and proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that one day we are going to receive the crown of rejoicing. There's an old camp meeting song that says, when we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus. Amen. Leading them to Jesus from the power of sin. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen. Friend of mine, there's going to be a day of great rejoicing when all of us as Christians see the impact that our life has had on other lives for the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, when you understand the reality of heaven, equally understand the reality of lostness and banishment, a place called hell. It boggles the mind to think of a soul consigned to that place eternally. One soul that is turned from that place is worth every trial, every test, every sacrifice, every suffering. And when we see the significance of the human soul, oh, my friend, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That has got to be part of what the Bible was talking about when it said, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. He was looking past this day of terrible sorrowing to the day of such rejoicing for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross while despising the shame, not just the pain, but the shame. The holiest man that ever walked on this planet, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, was going to be stripped naked. He was going to be beaten and flogged until the bloody pulp of a man that carried that cross up that hill fulfilled an ancient prophecy of how it would be, where it was prophesied he would cry, I am a worm and no man. And in that terrible, terrible state of seeming God-forsaken shame, he hung on that cross. He didn't have to. We all know he didn't have to. I hope you understand that he did not have to do this. He chose to do this for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. He endured the shame. He endured the shame. Praise God. Amen. Obedient unto death. That was his testimony, even the death of the cross. And because of that, the crown of rejoicing, what a day that will be when our Master Jesus we shall see. Amen. What a day, glorious day that is going to be. Talk about rejoicing. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Praise God. Friend of mine, that's where we're headed as Christians. We're headed to a place of reward. We're headed to a real place. We're headed to a reality of eternity, living with Christ and our loved ones that have preceded us to heaven forever, age without end. And I'm telling you, a lady used to sing at our church a song, and there's a weariness that comes so quickly in these last days. The very last day sign would be perilous times, so outrageous that it would have the effect. Literally, it connotates in its context in Scripture a reducing of the strength. You know, the Bible said, "Be not weary in well doing." Amen. For you shall receive the reward if you faint not. And that's what we need to focus on right now. We need to look past our hurts, our setbacks, the condition of the world about us. We need to look past the heartache and heartbreak of this fallen world, the persecution, the pressure to give in, give out, give up, and go back. We need to rise up and stand up. And if we've been sidelined from running full out for Christ, from a fully devoted, disciplined life, we need to come back and say, Lord, I'm back. You can count on me. The devil counted me out, but Lord, you can count me in. Today my son and I stood in my front yard and talked for 2 hours about how it used to be as opposed to how it is today in the culture and in the church world. And oh, the changes that have come and are quickly continuing to come in our culture and in the church in America, particularly in America. We are a candidate. Oh, not just that we need revival, the need itself has made the Church of Jesus Christ in America a candidate for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. There seems to be weariness. There seems to be such compromise of the truths and the foundation stones of our faith seem to be cracking and eroding. But I'm telling you, there is a people that God has appointed and anointed and brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And if we will rise up and be counted for Jesus Christ and be faithful, yes, in these troubled, darkened days, if we will rise up, if we will hear what the Spirit is saying to us, if we will get the holy incentives that Paul had to keep him going in the face of such opposition, I believe God is poised and ready by the Holy Spirit to send a mighty move of His Spirit to His people right here in America right now. There's revival, no doubt about it, in South Korea. There's revival in China. Oh, there's persecution and suppression of the gospel, but it is reported that over 20,000 people a day are coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior through the simple proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ in China. It has so upset the government because they know that the culture is being not just infected, but affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ and the changed lives and the changed worldview that life now holds. And they fear the cultural change that the gospel can bring because so many are coming to Jesus. And one high-ranking Chinese official was quoted as saying not too many years ago, "We must kill the baby while it's still in the manger." In other words, let's stop this Christian influence in our atheistic, Marxist nation and government and philosophy of political philosophy. Let's get rid of this Christian religion, the one that has the power to change lives. Amen. But honey, I want you to know that the Christian faith is growing in China because God is moving in this last day. The great last day harvest is taking place now worldwide, and reports are coming from countries, even Muslim countries, where there are people coming to know Christ as their Savior. There's mighty evangelistic efforts, and there's mighty salvation experiences occurring, where people are meeting Jesus in extraordinary and supernatural ways. Amen. Because God wants them to know how much He loves them and that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the mediator between God and man. And this wonderful God of ours is reaching down to fallen men and women all over this world. And while the American church seems to be coming more ritualistic and religiously abiding more in religious routine on Sunday morning than having a real visitation from God, I believe God wants to change it. I believe all of this dry wood is kindling for fire. And I believe the Lord wants to fill the vacuum of dead religion and compromised faith with truth and spiritual reality. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe the power and presence of God is available to us today. And I believe the Holy Spirit is brooding over this nation, our nation. And we're expecting, we're a small church. It doesn't make a bit of difference. If God shows up on Sunday morning, mighty things will occur. And He promised to be there if we will recognize and realize His presence where two or more of us gather together in His name, He said, there am I in the midst of them. And it's God in the midst, amen, that makes all the difference. Because when God is present and manifest His presence to us, and we become aware of His presence, amen, even seek His presence and power and person, God is going to do extraordinary things in the lives of those people and our families and our nation. We believe that there is a revival on the agenda for the United States of America, a great spiritual awakening. Praise God. I believe it's going to begin in the Christian church, but it's not going to stay in the church. It's going to move out into the culture, into society around us. And I believe that this wonderful Savior of ours, Jesus Christ, is not going to be a kind of historic figure with no relevance to the 21st century. I believe Jesus is going to be exalted. This is going to be a Christ-exalting revival, or it would be no revival at all. This is not to just fill buildings for our personal gain, filthy lucre. It's not to fill buildings so we can appear successful as success symbols. It's not about buildings at all. It's about people being brought into the kingdom of God and coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's a young generation coming up of church young people. And I believe that in the church, where the revival is going to begin, not in the world, but in the church, I believe in and through this new group of young men and women, God is going to raise up Davids and Deborahs. Hallelujah. Amen. Get in the Old Testament, you'll see what I'm talking about. I believe champions of the faith and leaders in the faith are going to be raised up, and the faith is going to be passed down into good hands as we put up that real fight for the faith. Amen. We do part of that by standing strong and true, and part of that by investing in the young Christian leaders of tomorrow. Praise God, young people that can have such an effect on young people. Praise the Lord. So we're looking for mighty revival, and we have crowns in view. And that's what is keeping us keeping on for Jesus Christ. Praise God. Today I want to talk to you if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'm not trying to use scare tactics, but I hope that this awakens your conscience and awakens your need for a Savior. We are in the times that the Bible clearly delineates prophetically and designates as the end times. In fact, we are in the last of the last days. And I believe the coming of the Lord is so very, very near. And we want you to know Jesus and be ready for His coming. What's going to happen after the church is taken out of this world and the believers, the dead in Christ rise, and we go home with Him to await to come back with Him? It's something called the Great Tribulation. And if you just read what is coming and the things that are happening right now, you can see the stage being set for the time of Jacob's trouble, the day of the Lord, the 7 years, 3.5 of deception, 3.5 of destruction. Oh, friend, it's time to come to know Christ as your personal Savior. Would you open your heart right now and accept Him? Repent of your sins and receive Him, and He will seal you until the day of redemption. And if you're a Christian, you're disgusted, you're distracted, you're discouraged, you're sidelined, will you come back and run with us the race that is set before us? Come on, let's run full out for Jesus till He comes. Well, till next week, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable saying, come back, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.